Today on Seculo, the FISA court reveals the FBI spied on American citizens nearly 300,000 times in 1 year. We'll talk about it today and more on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And a 127-page court filing in April. It was unsealed just this Friday by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. It noted that U.S. citizens covered in an improper effort included people involved in both the January 6th riots, but also, just so you know out there on the left, the George Floyd protesters during the summer of 2020, and over 19,000 donors to a failed congressional candidate. They don't name the candidate. They said it was one who didn't win. That the FBI improperly used warrantless searches against Americans 278,000 times in 1 year in 2021. 278,000 times constitutional rights were violated. The rights and the protections we have in the Constitution, our Fourth Amendment right against illegal search and seizure. The government has to get a warrant to do any kind of intelligence gathering on American citizens, unless they try to fit you into a foreign agent. Now, how are they doing that for George Floyd protesters? That had nothing to do with anything going on overseas, so there was no excuse there. January 6th was totally domestic. So again, they misutilized a law, which is to target foreign nationals, to target Americans, to spy on this is what they're admitting to, 278,000 times, they without a warrant, they spied on the American people. This should outrage the right and the left, because those George Floyd protesters were spied on too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's a lot of people watching right now, and these are the kind of stories we break here and discuss. So you may be watching all the coverage going on right now for Tim Scott's presidential announcement. That just happened. It's happening right now as we speak. He's just now speaking or finishing up a speech right now. All that's important. We should be watching and paying attention. But these are the kind of stories that really do affect the American people, and you really can see what's happening behind the scenes. When you have this 270,000 plus times that the FBI spied on American citizens without a warrant, without a reason, just because, like, for some reason they supported a certain political candidate, or on the other side, which we don't even know if that's a Republican or Democrat, or on the other side of this argument, they were part of the George Floyd protest. Regardless, guess what? We think it's egregious and we think it's ridiculous that this would happen in our country.
I mean, we don't even know which George Floyd protesters they were spying on. Were they spying on counter-protesters who were conservative or more right-leaning? Were they spying on the actual protesters for George Floyd? Either way, it's a violation of American rights. Here's how you know how bad it is. The FBI ran more than 20,000 queries to try and find a foreign influence connection to these individuals. 23,000 times? Guess how many they found? None. No indications of foreign influence related to the query terms used. So they misused Section 702 of FISA, and of course we know it's been abused. I don't think we realize it's been abused on this level of scale, Logan. This is like spying on a significant chunk of the American people when you are going without a warrant, so secretly. You have no adversarial process and no knowledge that you and your communications and the people you're communicating with, because that's how FISA works and those warrantless wiretaps work, is they start spying on you and all of your contacts that you're talking to, and they'll start spying on them as well. So the web spreads. Had no indication, no knowledge that you were being spied on by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That happened to nearly 300,000 Americans in just 1 year. How bad do you think it will be in the election year if we allow this to continue on? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Join us on the broadcast. We're fighting back at the ACLJ, as you know we are, against these abuses. Donate today at aclj.org. We'll be right back. take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I did want to fill you in, too. The ACLJ is in federal court over this matter. We sent a FOIA back in July to the FBI when it was reported that there were, in the Wall Street Journal, a number of these warrantless spying going on of American citizens. So we filed the FOIA. We've got action on that. June 1st, the judge has ordered us to meet and confer with the FBI. That means that the FBI, again, is then under pressure to start delivering documents to us at the ACLJ about why they felt it was appropriate to issue this many warrantless searches and wiretaps and spying on American people. And now we know the number is 278,000 in just 1 year. Nearly 300,000 Americans spied on, mostly from the right, some from the left. And we know, Logan, it was based on that testimony last week by those brave FBI agents. A lot of this is likely tied to trying to create a domestic violence extremism number, which is inaccurate. So as they so carefully explained, the reason why DOJ and Merrick Garland and Joe Biden gets up there and says domestic violent extremism, not fentanyl, is the most dangerous threat to America, even though fentanyl is the number one killer between Americans 18 to 45. So you think that was pretty much the number one killer. They get up and say domestic violent extremism is the number one problem. And that's because we know on January 6th, for each arrest made, they went to someone's, instead of treating it as a Washington, D.C. event, they went to every single local jurisdiction and city, and then they counted that as a domestic violent extremist event in that town. So all those protesters, many who did break the law, who showed up in Washington, when they were arrested at home, that counted as a separate domestic violent extremist event. So they are misusing the numbers for their own political narrative. But that's one thing. Spying on the American people without going through the legal process to get a warrant, to have probable cause about why you need it. This is why we must have politicians elected who can fundamentally transform the FBI. And in the meantime, what we're going to do with the ACLJ is keep the pressure on these institutions so we can expose their wrongdoing, let Congress know about it so they can do their oversight as well. And we all know what it's building to. It's building to a time where we know that real reform is going to get done with elections. But we have to build towards that. We have to get the evidence ready. We have to prepare all the documents. We have to be ready to go on day one if conservatives take back the White House and the House and then the Senate too, that we can start dismantling the bad actors in these agencies and making the decision about whether or not they should be abolished altogether and reconstituted in a different form. So I think that's where we are, and that's why the work is so critical right now. We have to be prepared to hit the ground running, to take these deep state agencies apart. They're going to continue to abuse us. They're going to continue to abuse our constitutional rights and trample on them. 300,000 Americans should not be spied on without a warrant by the FBI. That is living in a police state. That is like living in a dictatorship, and it cannot be allowed in the United States. And it's certainly not a filing error. This is done intentionally. We're getting to the bottom of it at the ACLJ.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take a call, because I think hopefully that'll inspire you to call in as well at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill in Illinois on line one. Bill, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. So at least 761 times every day, the FBI surveilled American citizens. Meanwhile, we've got millions of illegal aliens, including terrorists and other criminals, running wild in the country. They don't do anything about that.
Yeah, well, listen, that's because they don't count that as a serious problem. They count domestic violent extremism as the number one problem, not illegal immigration, not the drug crisis that is coming through our border. Many senators wanted to declare an epidemic of a drug crisis because of how many people are dying from fentanyl and fentanyl-related overdoses in America. The Democrats said no, it didn't fit their narrative that the border was out of control. So instead, what do? They say the number one problem is domestic violent extremism. Except turn on the news, right? Turn on the news. Is that what you're seeing as the normal problem with crime in all the communities across the country day to day? No. You're seeing street crime as the problem and drug-related crime as the problem. And occasionally there's bad actors influenced by bad political thought, of course, in America. but it's certainly not the number one driver. They had to play funny math to get there. But that's what they're going to take to the American people, Logan, politically. They're going to say, these Republicans, they're not going to do anything about this major threat of domestic violent extremism. They're going to show you a map. And even though all those people are connected to the same event on the same single day, they're going to make it look like there's thousands of these actions going on all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we encourage you to check out the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org because you'll see some of the amazing work that we're doing in this arena. I think what makes our show different than what a lot of people, I know there's thousands of you watching right now. Some of you may be brand new to us. You've never seen us. We've been on the air. This show in some form has been on the air for nearly 30 years. So if you're brand new, welcome. But understand that unlike a lot of the shows, and no shade thrown to them, there are a lot of guys talking, telling you about the news, telling you what's happening, giving you their opinion. Not only do we give you our opinion, we also go to work. We're a legal organization, so you can be represented at absolutely no cost. But that only happens also if people support our work, which thousands of you do, and we appreciate that. So go to aclj.org for more information on that. I do want to quickly say, because we have thousands of you watching specifically on our Rumble platform. So Rumble, obviously, is probably our newest form of getting our show out there to you. And the people at Rumble have been great. We are about to cross on the ACLJ channel here 200,000 subscribers or followers, as they say on Rumble. So I'm going to ask you, if you're brand new, I mean, we're talking about 30, 60 people here, all we need to cross that 200,000 mark. And that'd be huge for us. We'd really appreciate it. So if you're on Rumble right now, you're brand new to this broadcast, or you've never followed our show, you just see it show up in your feed or featured on the homepage, click follow right now. I would appreciate it.
No, we don't.
Let me know in the chat that you did it.
Yeah, let us know in the chat that you did it. And we'll be watching right now. So just click that follow button. You put in, I think, just a short amount of information and get that number up to 200,000 for us. We really appreciate you doing that. Then you'll also make sure you'll get a notification when we go live.
Yeah, especially if you have the app.
That's important too, because sometimes while we have our live broadcast, when we are in election year and there's a lot of breaking news, we'll come back live often throughout the week. That's not the normal time to update you on a breaking story and get you insight into it. So you want to make sure you're getting those notifications, not just for the daily show, but when we occasionally, and we don't abuse it, but we occasionally come back live during the week because something has happened post-show that we feel we need to comment on immediately and not wait until the next day's show. So please, if you can, click that follow button and get us over 200,000. I know we've got enough people with us on Rumble right now to do that. And of course, share that feed with your friends and family. I mean, I think, Logan, one of these issues that we're looking at, we talk about utilizing FISA this way, and again, over 278,000 times Americans were spied on improperly is the word they use. I would say unconstitutionally, because I read the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure, that you're not supposed to be spied on unless there's probable cause. They're supposed to go and get a warrant. This is warrantless. This is without court. They did not go and try to get a court order to spy on you. They just defined you as a foreign national or somehow an enemy of the United States, and thus you can then be spied upon as an American citizen. Remember, we thought, you know, they were doing this to a lot of the Trump members of the Trump team and their foreign policy team. But even there, it seemed like they were doing it fairly rare. Three or four people was all we knew about. Now we know the extent. In 1 year, they did it 278,000 times. I mean, look, when you think about that number, that is a lot of Americans who have no idea, because there's not going to be paperwork on this. You know, you didn't get a warrant. You didn't go to court. You didn't get to fight back. They didn't go to court to get a warrant, a probable cause. They didn't have to show that. There's over 278,000 Americans who were spied on illegally who don't know it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty shocking for everybody. I mean, it makes you question everything you've ever texted, who you're talking to, what things are. Because
we talk about wiretapping now. We use that term.
That just means surveillance.
Colloquially, yeah. It means every data you've got going in and out, which can mean conversations in your home using technology to get those, because that's very available through things like Alexa and your smart TVs and your phones that are always on. Of course, messages on your phones, emails, text, and other social media sites. So it's basically full scope. We say wiretap because that's the kind of way it's described as warrantless wiretap. What it means now is not just what's on your phone or when you make a call. It's literally right when you're in your home talking to your husband or wife.
Yeah.
Literally, they're able to pull that.
That's pretty terrible.
We know they can do it.
Yeah.
But now they're doing it without a warranty.
Yeah, there's no potentially. Yeah,
they didn't have to go to court.
No reason.
And show
or they find some reason to say that you're internationally connected or something.
Right, or someone you're talking to is. So, I mean, think about how many of us make a phone call a day to an American company and end up talking to someone overseas. Yeah.
Almost every day.
Right? I mean, a lot of service departments. Does that now trigger you to be spied on? Yeah. That's how the FBI is working right now. Support our work. As you know, we're fighting back. We've got a court-mandated date, June 1st, so just right around the corner, with the FBI to get more documents on this. We continue to fight. Support our work. Donate today at ACLJ.org. When we come back, the battle for life raging in the states. We'll update you. Secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll get back into more and take some of your calls on the warrantless wiretapping. In fact, there's an update from our attorney, Ben Sisney. He said, you know, this new info and this new report from the FBI about the 278,000 warrantless wiretaps that were put out on Americans in just 1 year, this new info will actually shape how we negotiate our FOIA, which was filed before this information was presented. So we will now even have another way to negotiate with the FBI on getting more documents and more information about why they continue to abuse the Section 702 power, which is about, if you read it just upright, you would think as an American, if you were reading it, that it, or an FBI agent, you didn't have any context. You just read it. You'd read the provision to mean foreign nationals. So someone who is not an American citizen. But they have gone to flip it, figure it all around, that if you're connected to a foreign national or if they believe that you might be acting on the behalf of a foreign government, that suddenly you have now lost your protections under the Constitution. You are no longer subject to them needing to go get a warrant and show probable cause. So they're totally abusing a power which was supposed to be targeted at only people who are not American. And yet now it's being used, of course, to spy on America. So we'll take your calls on that as we continue, 1-800-684-3110. But we want to bring in CeCe Howe because, CeCe, a couple of big updates on life. One update in a case we're filing in Arizona, and also work just in this latest Planned Parenthood report.
Yeah, so in Arizona, like we have told you know, our listeners all along, after the Dobbs case, the fight to protect the lives of unborn babies doesn't stop. It goes to each state. So in Arizona, there was a law on the books, pre-Roe, that banned abortions with a life of the mother exception. And after Roe, that law was enjoined, stopped. And then after Dobbs, it was reinstated. So you have a law on the books that basically protects the life of the baby, bans abortion with a life of the mother exception. And this is the law that's now being challenged. And we are filing an amicus brief today supporting and arguing that the state indeed has a compelling interest in protecting the life of a preborn baby at all of its stages. So that's what we'll be filing today.
Yeah, holding it in my hands now. We'll put it up on our website when it's filed. But again, just to show you the breadth of the work the ACLJ is doing from issue to issue, whether it's the spying by the FBI and we're involved there in court with the FBI, whether it is a life in Arizona, we are in court battling for life. And CeCe, it's certainly a time we've got to battle for life because we had the great victory overturning Roe versus Wade. And we knew that that would send us into a whole new war in a battle in the states, like the case in Arizona. And about half the country, which would be very pro-life, and about half the country would be very pro-abortion. And Planned Parenthood is still conducting record-breaking numbers of abortions.
Yeah, so we always follow their yearly reports, and this is the 2021-2022 report that just came out, and they literally entitled it Relentless. And you better believe that they are relentless. Their numbers for the abortions that were performed, 374,155, and that's the second highest number of abortions ever. And then another kind of record-breaking number is they received over $670 million in taxpayer funds, and that is the most ever under under this Biden administration, this is the most amount of money that Planned Parenthood has ever received from taxpayer funding. And this is an organization that operates with a revenue of almost $2 billion.
Yeah, we used to say they were a billion-dollar year organization. They are now getting close to $2 billion a year, and that's because it's not even half anymore, but a decent chunk is coming from you and me. And that, of course, changes, Logan, because of who's in the White House.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends on where funds are going, what they're willing to do. You know, like the first thing that always happens is the Mexico City policy is always that one that gets, it's the first thing we're going to do. And that happens on both sides. It happens. I don't even know where that stands now in terms of, I guess it doesn't matter because it's
under Biden.
Under Biden, yeah. And that obviously is one of those one that's a big talking point that flips. And obviously that's taxpayer funding international abortions that happens and all of those different things that can happen within it. So you see that when you do have a Democrat in office. And you know we try to fight back as much as we can, but I think it's also important for those who are wanting to still be on the front lines of life. Sadly, there's been a big group of people who saw that Dobbs happened, Roe was overturned, and they just checked out of the issue, thinking we won. And yes, to some extent, it was a huge victory. It can't be undersold how big of a victory it was for the pro-life movement. But it certainly didn't end. It's ended abortions in certain states. Not to say it can't come back. But it's certainly not the fight, you know, the end of the fight. It's not game over for Planned Parenthood just yet. No, I mean,
think about it. In 2021 to 2022, CeCe, 375,000 children were killed by Planned Parenthood.
That's right. And that's the second highest number since they've been reporting. So, you know, the battle is not over. Absolutely. Children are still being murdered and we still have to stand for life. And we're doing that on a national basis against Planned Parenthood, and we do it on a state-by-state basis as well, and we will never stop fighting to protect the life of the innocent unborn.
I see it in the chat, Logan. Roger on Rumble wrote, and I saw Chicklet wrote in, followers, remember to click the follow button, and Roger wrote in, I'm a longtime watcher, but a new follower. So I know a lot of you out there, you go here every day. This will be great, too. You're going to get a notification about it, but also it just helps us bring in, the more followers brings in more people to the show. So if you want more people getting this info that you agree with, click that follow button on Rumble. We are so close to that 200,000 mark of followers. So do that today. We would really appreciate it. Doesn't cost you a thing. Takes a couple seconds. You can do it while you're watching right now. And we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're under 70 away from hitting 200,000.
And I think that number takes a little bit of time to like update.
Yeah, I don't know
so
if
it'll probably be tomorrow if we find out we get there. So help us get there. I think we can do it in the next 24 hours. If you click follow right now.
Yeah, because we're featured right now. I know there's a lot of people who are new to the broadcast or maybe just tune in because you see it featured. We encourage you to do that. We'd appreciate it. And hit that thumbs up. That really does help get more people to see it.
Yep.
And that's what's important here. That's what's important for all the work we do at the ACLJ, especially when we're independent broadcast, which is really what we are. You know, we're on a lot of radio stations. You hear us. We're on a lot of every sort of social media platform, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, but we're only on all of those because we have a team internally that's doing ourselves. There's no major network behind pushing this broadcast. We are completely independent. We may be on your local station, but we are not controlled by that local station. They don't dictate any of the content we do. Maybe the FCC dictates some of the words we can say and can't say, but other than that, we are completely independent, and that's pretty rare, even on over-the-air broadcast. So very cool. I'm glad to have a lot of you joining us, but especially when it comes to situations like this conversation about life, these are conversations that are not happening on a lot of mainstream platforms.
No, they're not. And even if they are happening, there's no action. So here at the ACLJ, everything we're talking about, whether it's the warrantless spying, we've got a court-ordered meeting with the FBI on June 1st on that very issue. We're going to now take this new information we're talking about today into that meeting. It helps us as we negotiate with the FBI on the information we want back to provide to you and Congress about why the FBI thought it's a good idea to continue expanding warrantless spying on American people without going through a warrant process and a probable cause process, bypassing the courts, which is unconstitutional. We also, when it comes to life, we're battling in every single state. In this case, is out of Arizona. But if you look at ACLJ.org, you will see just the work we are doing across the country to battle for life. We don't just talk about these issues on the broadcast. We live them, we work them, and it's because of you, our donors, that we're able to fight all of them. Donate today, ACLJ.org.
K keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. We've been talking about a couple issues right off the bat. I do want to make sure we take the calls on that. The FBI improperly using, they admitted to this, warrantless searches on American people 278,000 times in 2021. That's the latest numbers we have, through utilizing the FISA courts. So that's a secret court system. It's not adversarial. That means that you don't have an attorney. You don't know that they are going in to seek this authority to get this search on you. They don't have to have the same probable cause hearing. So this abuse, again, because they are identifying you as someone who is foreign, and thus you have, for that time, for that purpose, given up your constitutional rights. That is not what the founders thought when they were writing the Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution. So we're in court over this with the FBI, and June 1st, we have a court-mandated meeting with the FBI to actually go through the documents that we want provided about the decision. Why are they doing this? Okay, we know they're doing it, so we want to know why. Like, why is this something? Is this a new policy change? Have they reinterpreted a statute to give them this broad power? Because Congress certainly needs to know that if they need to go in and tighten it up. This power actually ends, if it's not reauthorized, at the end of this year, this FISA power. And I think there's a lot of Americans who maybe 5-6 years ago would have been arguing to keep it, who have now said, you know what? This has been so abused, it's not worth the protection we might get from outside bad actors because it's so abusive of the American people, and that there's a better way to target real foreign actors and terrorists without giving them a tool that allows them to target us as the bad actors without having to go through a normal court process.
All right, let's go to Bruce, who's calling in Texas online too. Bruce, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Okay, real quick, I want to say, before I say what I'm going to say, God bless you guys for everything you do.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Our founding fathers and the champions of liberty would be so proud of you guys today. They would be. Okay.
Thank you so
now,
much.
Well, what I'm hearing about the FOIA, and I know that was a previous discussion, but what gets me is I've been watching this stuff for over 50 years. And my concern is, you put these FOIA requests out there, and they are going to, in their terms, condition the information that you're going to get from the FOIA. In other words, they're going to doctor it up, delete, modify it. They're going to cover their butts on this thing. And so my concern is, you're doing these FOIAs, which I think is great, but my concern is the accuracy and what they have done with the information.
So here's what we usually do. First time we get the actual documents, we go through them with a fine-tooth comb. And we actually find, Bruce, exactly what you're talking about. We've talked about Rick Rendell, who's part of our team. They overly redact. They overly classify. So we usually go back 3, 4, and 5 times. And usually we win this in court. The court agrees with us. We shouldn't have to go through a process that lengthy. That's not how the FOIA law was set up. But we do. That's just how things are right now in our country. So we do exactly what you're concerned about. We make sure isn't the case. So we don't just accept their first reply. Their first reply is like their first offering in a negotiation. And it's never the truth. It's never everything. It's never what you actually want. Ultimately, you do get it because a court is breathing down their neck saying, I've told you 10 times, FBI or what other government agency, to provide this. Stop wasting my time here in my court, as the judges would say, and provide the information you're mandated to under the law. So when you ultimately then do get it, it is good information. And then if you've got a hostile executive branch but friends in the House, like we do right now in the Judiciary Committee and Oversight Committee, you get it right to them and you start getting FBI agents that testify before the committee. So you see this work happen in real time when you see the people testifying and when you see the information we're getting leading into the next election. too secular. There's a couple of issues that are going to be, I think, more and more focused on because they can affect the U.S. economy. First is the debt ceiling discussions. And Logan, I don't know if you were paying as close attention, but this is very important because, again, it can have an impact on, if we default, it can have an impact on the stock market. It's like the people want more uncertainty right now. And in fact, Republicans were the adults in the room who actually extended the debt ceiling so that we could have these negotiations. They finally then got to the negotiating table. Joe Biden was unwilling to even negotiate with the Republicans who control the House of Representatives. He was unwilling to negotiate with them until they embarrassed the Democrats by actually moving forward and extending the debt ceiling. Not long, but long enough to have the negotiations. And what Republicans are looking for is basically, Logan, well, this is what's interesting, is a return to the spending pre-COVID. That's all.
Yeah, that's it. Just to go back to how it was.
Not a massive reform. They understand Democrats have the White House. Democrats have the Senate.
Something that's fairly reasonable that maybe could make it.
So you could get some spending under control so we're not out of control with our deficits. But, hey, there was a lot of COVID money that wasn't even spent. So also putting that back into the coffers.
Oh, remember that? Where was all that extra stuff that was laying around?
Yeah, so there's money that could be put back into the coffers. There's also...
I'm going to ask you this. Explain coffers.
You know,
I think these are words that most people don't use.
Well, so back into the different government bank accounts.
Right, I understand that. I just want to clarify for those.
Not coffins.
Well, I think that may be what they hear.
Yeah, so back into the various departments' coffers, I think you would say it like that, because it's not like there's the federal treasury, but I think a lot of this would go back to departments. But then those departments' budgets, they wouldn't need as much new money because they would already have money
already
utilized.
There. Yeah.
So the fact that Democrats, I feel like that's where we're going to end, is somewhere around there. They also included a 1% raise in spending.
The Republicans.
Which, by the way, is trillions of dollars.
Yeah, 1%. It's like owning 1% of like a Disney or something. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, that's billions of dollars.
You own 1% of the U.S. budget, and you get to increase flatly based off that, is a significant amount of increases. But Republicans are getting done what they can get done. Here's the second part to it that I think is also interesting. They figured out through, I watched a whole thing on this yesterday on 60 Minutes about the defense contractors overcharging for like Patriot missile systems and things that have been, some of the things that have been in existence, Stinger missiles that used to cost $50,000 in the 1980s and now are $400,000. It's basically the same system. And yeah, there's inflation and costs, but basically there's like one company who makes one valve and you can't send up the helicopter unless you pay for the valve. Well, the valve went from $80 to $8,000.
Sounds like a big pharma situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, well, who created the problem? The Pentagon or the defense contractors? It's kind of a mix of both. Well, what we found here, which is usually something we don't find, is that we overvalued how many weapons we sent to Ukraine by $3 billion. So here's where we're at. I'd like to see what you think about it, Logan. You could either say with the $3 billion, wow, that's $3 billion we've got back into those DOD coffers, like I'll say
back
again.
Into the coffers.
But I feel like the left is going to say, we got $3 billion. Let's go spend it.
Yeah. How many more abortions can we provide? That's, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they'll spend it. And they'll spend it on things that are, you know, it's a hospital for roaches. And we're going to study these roaches. And we have to make this roach hospital out of marble. And it's got to be the top-notch marble. Then we're going to cover it with stucco. No one's going to see the beautiful marble, but the roaches will know.
Yes, but we can't house migrants.
No.
Or veterans. They get kicked out for illegal.
Yeah, no. The veterans, I'm sorry, you're being replaced by
roaches,
some sort of species of bird that has been, you can't find it, but if it does attack, that's a problem. So we have created it. We've tortured them. I think that's what the Democrats do. They take animals, they torture them. I'm just going to throw stuff out there until someone stops me. And you know, it just can keep going. I can come up with a lot of ways they could spend $3 billion.
Killing babies.
I mean, that's number one.
Always at number one.
That's
starting
just,
wars.
That's day one.
Starting wars.
Yeah. Like you said, better missiles or more missiles to countries that we don't really have affiliation with.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we're just going to start sending missiles in like a... You know, like a mass mailer.
Like a
you
care
get,
package?
You know, you just get them sometimes and be like, how did I even get on this list? I'm on this missile list that just showed up here. I don't even know what to do with it. Takes up my whole backyard.
Pakistan's like, well, I thought we had enough nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
What do we need this for?
Yeah, well, I mean, keep it in storage somewhere. And I got to get a rental facility. It got to be air conditioned because I don't think you could
Taliban's
store.
The Taliban's got theirs in storage.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, they definitely do.
They're the number one arms dealer in the world right now.
Yeah, exactly. Then they have...
That's a trustworthy one.
Yeah, maybe a couple hundred thousand more IRS agents. I mean, what else can we come up with here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with $3 billion, you could really get
$3 billion,
started on
I mean,
that.
I assume a starting IRS agent. I mean, it shouldn't be more than like $25,000. No, I don't know. I'm kidding. I don't know what they...
Federal government employees.
Like. Oh, that's true. That's true. It's like the DMV.
There you go. You're paying premium for premium.
We'd love for you to call in. We know we're just kind of goofing off here, but this is these are real problems. These are real issues. But you do kind of spiral into these things because you look at how it is on a grand scheme, and it feels aggressive. Whether that's that or the spying.
Well, on the one hand, that we can't, again, come to a budget agreement, which I think is just fair. I'm an honest broker, so when the Democrats are in charge, I don't expect we're going to get everything we want, right? But we do have power because the House is controlled by Republicans, so we should get something. So I think just a return to pre-COVID spending is still very high spending. And that 1% increase is still a lot of potential for increase. So why is that? I know that Democrats will always want more, but it seems like that's just a very fair. Republicans are being the fair and reasonable ones. I say this because we have to be careful here. If there is a default or government shutdown, the Republicans will be blamed. And historically, Logan, whether you agree with the Republicans or not, it does not poll well for us when we get blamed for shutdowns. No. It has not worked out.
No, and I think a lot of people always have, sort of like you say in coffers, people don't really fully understand the concept of a government shutdown and what it means. I know you've been out on the streets. You can see where public parks get sometimes closed down, or you're in Washington, D.C., the monuments may not be open. These are the kind of things that happen. It's kind of like going on strike for a lot of people. It does not look good ever. It doesn't look good ever, any side, when a government shutdown happens. Because you hear those words, and it's terrifying, I think, for a lot of people.
Our producer Will thinks they're going to send you some kind of military equipment, then they can use it to spy on you with Section 7.
Yeah, because they'll say you are an extremist.
You're an extremist because you've got a Patriot missile system in your backyard. You didn't ask for it.
If you do have that, by the way, that's pretty insane.
You should probably report it. If the U.S. government tried to give that to you, you say no. Unless you're Zelensky.
It's like the FBI shows up at your front door.
If you're Zelensky, say, this is all you're sending?
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
The billions.
Where are the F-16s?
Yeah, I hear there's $3 billion on the table here.
See, that's why I get nervous. Instead of saying, like, well, great, we've saved $3 billion. That's how, like, most people would operate their economies, right? Businesses would operate that way. Hey, we had an accounting error. If they got on their earnings call and said, we actually have $3 billion in the bank that we didn't know, or that we accounted for spending that we didn't have to spend, their stock price would go up. These are good things. If you look at the U.S. government as kind of running a business, which in many cases they are, because they're buying and selling and manufacturing and telling people what to manufacture, and you've got $3 billion extra, why can't we turn that back into, again, cutting spending? You don't then need it. We could cut $3 billion from the Department of Defense budget because they've got it. Instead of just saying, oh, we got to rush $3 billion out the door back to Ukraine. Or some other country, like you said, or just send it around to America.
There's a comment that came in on Rumble that said Biden doesn't want to reach a deal. He put the Republicans off for over 100 days.
Yes, I mean, it took the Republicans extending the debt ceiling, which they thought they weren't going to be able to do by vote. And then Ken McCarthy called him on it, got all the Republicans to do it. It's a temporary extension. When that happened, so Ken McCarthy called their bluff, and they had to bring him into the room. So now the main negotiator is Ken McCarthy, Schumer for the Democrats, and then Biden. Because I think, Mitch McConnell's role is more limited here. It's because the Democrats control the Senate. So it's what the Senate Democrats will vote for, what the House Republicans will vote for, and then ultimately what the president will sign. We know where the House Republicans are now. It's return to pre-COVID spending, which just seems like common sense.
Yep.
Since the pandemic is over.
And they ended all the other protections.
Right. So it's all come to an end. So return to that spending and allow for a 1% increase in the budget. And that's where we'd be. Because, again, you can't expect to get everything, unfortunately, when you only have the House of Representatives.
Hey, I do want to encourage you right now. We're heading into the last segment of the broadcast for the day. I'd love to hear from you. We have some phone lines open. So if you've ever wanted to be on the air, this is a great time to call. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today on the air. And while you're at it, if you're watching on any of our platforms, I encourage you to go over to Rumble, to the ACLJ Rumble channel, and hit that follow button, because we are so close to 200,000. We'd love to be over that by the time we reach you tomorrow. We may be already, but probably not, because we would love to get new people in this broadcast each and every day. And we support our friends at Rumble as well, because they are champion free speech, unlike any other platform is doing right now. So we like them, and they've been great to us.
We come back. The NAACP is warning you not to travel to a state in our country. What if you can guess which one? Maybe if you get enough calls in, we'll let you guess. 1-800-684-3110, and we'll tell you why and just how outrageous it is. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast to support the work of the ACLJ, which is so critical to us, your financial contributions. Donate today at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back. Secchio, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. You want to take the call before we get to the story?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go to Lewis, who's calling in Colorado on line one. And if you do want to be on the air, like Jordan said, last chance to call in for the day, 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you. Lewis, you're on the air.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, why don't the Republicans keep on telling the American people that if you spend more money than what you take in as a family or business, what's going to happen to you? And this is what's happening to our country. We're spending more money than we're taking in, and at least a business and a family can file bankruptcy, but the government can't. I mean,
well, that would be a very dark day, right? I mean, that dark day if the U.S. government's loans or our currency was devalued. I mean, that's what we'd be talking about, is something like that. Remember, I mean, we borrow money from China to pay our bills here. So we are funding our adversaries who buy our debt to fund our bills that are out of control spending. I mean, you see how the debt number goes up. You can go to that website. It's insane. I think it's at $33 trillion right now. I mean, $33
trillion. Yep. It's wild to watch it continue to grow. I think a lot of people have a lot of questions based on how that all works, how the debt ceiling works, how debt works in general. I think we have a call, and we're going to see if they're ready here in just a minute to be on the air. So we'll see in just a second. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, they're curious about how this all works. When you hear the theory of the debt ceiling and you hear a government shutdown, why does this happen and who's controlling this? And why does it seem like something that's cyclical?
Well, there's a couple of things. You could default. If you don't have a budget, you could default on your payments. And then that gets your credit rating taken down, because it's like if you don't pay your credit card bill on time, they don't necessarily shut you off immediately or like turn off your credit card. They might turn off your credit card for time being, but they don't, like, they give you some time to pay back your bill. Like if you don't pay your water bill month one, you usually have like 2 or 3 months to pay it.
Let's go to Rod, who's calling out Ohio.
If you do that in a big way, in a default, just like in that scenario, while you'll still get your water on ultimately and it won't be shut off, your credit score will go down, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. Your credit score gets hits, major hits, if you start not paying your bills on time. Same thing happens to the U.S. government.
Yeah,
our credit ranking goes down in the world, which means it's not as safe or good idea to do business with the U.S. government.
Gotcha. I think that makes a lot more sense. Let's go to Rod, who's calling in Ohio on line two. Rod, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Hey, I have a question I don't understand. How can we be having to borrow money when we print our own money? What do we borrow for?
Unlike China, we don't do currency manipulation. If we just printed money, guess how much the money you have right now would be worth? Well, it could be worth half as much, because if we printed double the amount of dollars that were on the market right now, your money would be devalued by half or more. So if you start just printing more money, that just devalues all Americans. So again, I get your first issue. I think that people always say, "Hey, we printed." China does the same thing. What China does is they manipulate the market. They don't do it in a rational way. That's why, though, the U.S. dollar has continued to be the benchmark. That's in question now, but I think so long as we don't make stupid moves like that, which on paper, people say, you know, we print the money. Why are we letting China get away with it? Because our government ultimately doesn't want to devalue your worth and your income and your savings. Because if it was done on a mass scale of printing of money, that's when you're hitting like a depression. That's when you have gone over the fiscal cliff. You are in a seriously economic dire time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we don't want to do that.
No. And look, hey, last call again if you want to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. Hopefully that gives you a bit of a... I think people have those questions because they just hear terms.
I get it.
They hear those terms thrown around so much. I mean, I'm on Twitter and I'm looking at every congressman and every senator, all of them posting debt ceiling, shutdown, without any sort of context, without any sort of breakdown of why or how this is happening. Just we know we're getting there, and it always feels political. It never feels like something that is...
They are talking about that $1 trillion coin.
Oh, yeah. If we just make that $1 trillion coin, put it in a bank, I mean, that is a theory that actually is happening out there.
Yeah, yes, by Democrats. And how does that not impact all of us?
Not like this giant coin made out of some sort of rare mineral actually would be... This is a fictional... This would be like me taking a Chuck E. Cheese coin
like
and going,
paper.
This is worth $3 trillion, and now I'm going to go put it in a bank.
Yeah, just like your dollar, buddy.
Yes, exactly. But it feels... I don't know.
It's not based on a gold standard.
No, not anymore. But it feels manipulated to be this is $3 trillion, therefore we paid it back.
This is how obsessed they are with spending more and more and more of your money and not actually figure out the problem.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say this too. We are like 40 subscribers or followers away on Rumble from hitting that 200,000. So I know, look, we usually ask you to go to aclj.org, and I'm going to encourage you to still do that. Go look at all the incredible content being put there each and every day for absolutely free. Great blogs by people like Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell and our amazing team here as well. But there's also a great way you can help us, and that is if you're on whatever social media platform you're on. I'm going to say this, not just on Rumble. If you're on Rumble, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, if you're watching this on Twitter, wherever you're seeing this clip or this bit, do whatever that action is. Subscribe, follow, like. We love to see more and more people come join us on this journey because it is important. It's important work the ACLJ is doing. It goes beyond an hour-long radio show. I want you to know that. For those who are brand new or just see mics in front of our faces, this broadcast goes on well beyond just a broadcast. We have a full legal team. We have an incredible media operation. We have some of the best and the brightest right here at the ACLJ working for you at absolutely no cost because we don't do it without the support of you as a donor. But if say you have a legal issue, Jordan, we've been talking about this a lot. If you have a legal issue, we're going to come. I see some people saying a lot of these guys don't have the money. They don't have money for lawyers' fees and for legal defense. Well, that's not how it works here at the ACLJ.
No. That's why we exist. A lot of times, constitutional issues, if you went to a regular firm, it doesn't really work on their financials. And so organizations like the ACLJ exist to take your case at no cost to you. You're the brave American willing to stand up for your constitutional right. You believe that your rights have been violated, whether it's by your employer, a school, something that's happened to your children, a piece of legislation has been passed that impacts you as a business owner, and you want to fight back. We provide all of the legal work at absolutely no cost. We fight with you all the way through. You get all the expertise of the ACLJ. So if you are concerned you don't have the money, well, that's why we exist. You will not ever be charged. And we do this work at absolutely no cost to you because our donors want us to be able to fight those battles. We've done a couple of new cases we've talked about just the last week that we talked about on the air last week. I think we might have a new one that we'll be talking about at the end of this week. And that's just the ones we kind of bring attention to because we think they are interesting in the fact that you would want to know about them early on in the process. They don't all have to be that way. So what I encourage you to do is to go to aclj.org/help. That's aclj.org/help. And if you go there, it's not a donation page. It's an information that you fill out. You basically put your contact information and your situation, your legal situation. And don't be afraid to just be as clear as you can, but you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to cite code. Just say, this is what happened to me. I think my rights were violated. An ACLJ attorney will review that and contact you. Even if we can't assist you, you will be contacted by an ACLJ attorney to make sure we understood you correctly. Maybe you wanted to add something else that changes our decision-making. But if we can help you, we're going to help you. And it's going to be at no cost to you. So aclj.org/help. And the reason why we can do that is because of our donors. Donate today so that that process continues at aclj.org. This NAACP story, I guess we'll save it for Secular Brothers.
Yeah, we'll do it on Secular Brothers podcast. A bit more lighthearted look at what's going on in the news and a pop culture. Join us on secularbrothers.com or find us on Rumble.